Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as almost always, the 3, 4, 5, 6 Marthas to my 3 Jonas. It's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hello. How's it going? How's it going over there?
Why? Why?
I got nothing. I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We don't have enough mysteries with the show we're talking about. You have to have the mysterious, why is he doing that accent to open up the podcast? we're trying to get new listeners here, especially now that I have a handy-dandy new microphone, so I'm fascinated to hear the file on this one to see if I finally don't sound like I'm doing an echo chamber, chunky soup can kind of a microphone thing anymore. Anyway, getting to the point, we are back once again to talk about yet another episode of Season 3 of Dark. As we said, we were covering them podcast by podcast, episode by episode, and we are now up to episode number 3, which I believe is titled Adam and Eva. One thing I like about this series, unlike when we cover things like Better Call Saul or things of that nature, I do not and will not feel obligated to ever mention, like, the writers and directors and stuff on this show. If I can't pronounce most English names, I'm certainly not going to take a crack at German names. Although I haven't been saying that for Perry Mason. Oh, it's all Tim Van Patten anyway. Anyway, so, should we just tackle it, get to the point?
Sure.
All right.
Actually, there's one thing I was thinking about between recordings, and it's just of all the, because we were speculating as to like how exactly Charlotte got stuck in the past as mm-hmm. a young child, but there is one character that knows the like older version of Dr. Tannhaus, so it's just, you know, that's probably somewhat relevant, maybe not, but just the fact that since he ends up with her, he obviously knows what fucking happened. That's all. So at some point, I suppose we'll figure out why that happened. Because I don't think
it's hard to really wrap my head in it, because the problem with the show is there's so much going on in an episode. So, and when, especially the way we're going about this, at least for me, you know, it's just the way my mind works. My mind is really on all the things and related things that I saw in this episode.
Yeah.
Although Charlotte does appear in it, but not the version of what you're talking about. So you just kind of was drawing a blank, because like I don't even I'm trying to remember. That's like the previous episode. Like, okay, yeah, how do we get from 2053? Which version of when does Elizabeth actually is she that Elizabeth? Whatever. And we haven't seen that person outside of a photograph. That version of Elizabeth, the in between version, I guess.
Right.
Anyway. Hey, at least you sidetracked with something that's about the damn show, so it's fine.
That's true.
It's not, you know, it wasn't like another Deep Space Nine reference or something.
Well, actually,
here we go. Stop.
Okay.
Stop. Okay. So, now speaking of things like backstories, we kicked off this episode in the 19th century, so it's I guess the 1888. Now, I was noticing something that I don't think I've mentioned on a previous podcast, because, you know, one of the things we get in the opening is we get a little bit of backstory with the, who I kept referring to as the blind guy, even though I know his name is Tannhaus, because they made that clear with the name, that's the name of the little, you know, factory thing that they're all hanging out in. But all my notes just say blind guy instead of Tannhaus. Yeah. I don't know.
I wasn't certain. I thought there was always a chance he was just some like, you know, dude that lived in the town that like ended up working with them, but they made it clear this episode when they called him old man Tannhaus.
They did the name drop. But something that was a bit more important that we see first in the little bit of backstory with him, where we see him as a child, you know, riding in the horse and carriage with a man, presumably his father, and we see these objects.
Like the credits called that character Gustav Tannhaus too, so that's like the only thing I saw before I stopped at the end of the episode. So that must be.
I literally have no. Again, I have no reason to watch the credits on this show. So
it just starts.
Like, it's not like I'm going to be referencing any of these actors' names. That's if that's a podcast you're looking for. That's not this podcast. I'm just
Well, you know, the credits always start with, like, you know, the order of appearance of the character. The first one we saw was his, you know, his father. So
right.
That's just why.
As far as I'm concerned, the credits can, might as well say Uten, Gleeten, Glatten, Globen. I'm not going to know what the credits mean. I'm just not going to go. That's an 80s music drop for you people out there. Anyway, Lordy,
yes.
The point
that's
I was trying
up.
To get to.
Answered three times.
Couple,
good band.
Couple point, a couple objects that we see that are... We have seen before and seem to have some sort of importance to them. They seem to have a special importance to them when we see them later on, especially. One of them is that watch with the inscription of Charlotte. So that's interesting. That seems to be making its way through the years. Perhaps that's the inspiration for how Charlotte is named. Perhaps there's something more to it than that. Because who knows what time period Charlotte might have traversed and she doesn't even realize it. Who knows? But I'm not focusing on that. I know a lot of people were, but I'm not going to. I'm focusing on that book.
Yeah.
The play
well, there
book,
isn't enough
book.
Information. There's not enough information at this point to really speculate. It's more just like a huh? So.
The Ariadne thing.
Yes.
Because we've not, to the best of my recollection, we've not really mentioned that before. So.
No, other than it may be when we were talking about the play. But that, but we didn't really get much.
But we didn't name drop the play or at all.
No.
So that. So the point being, there's a reason they keep mentioning this. There's a reason we're seeing that book, both in the 1880s and somewhere in the far flung future when, you know, the Freaky Trio show up with it, and that's the play that Martha is in, and so on and so forth. So, just to put it out there, just so people are aware of it, in case they don't know their mythology, Ariadne, that character is an actual character. From Greek mythology. She's a Cretan princess from Greek mythology. She's usually associated with things like mazes and labyrinths because she was involved in the myths of like the Minotaur and characters of that nature. So just as far as, I don't know if metaphor is the right word or not, kind of makes sense that that would be a character who has to deal with mazes and labyrinths. And since if there's one thing this show is, it's a freaking puzzle, you know, wrapped in a riddle and enigma and all that other crap. So, I mean, obviously there's a bit more to it than that, but I think at least knowing that on the surface, like, okay, now I see a little something going on there. I'm sure there's more to it that probably has a bigger connection, because why would it seem to have such importance as a totem, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, and plus, I mean, that's like way back, and I'm assuming it's the 1820s. If it is like 66 years before 1888, since this the blind tan house is a child in this one, so
right.
That should be around the, you know, that's a long time ago. So that book's been bouncing around for a very, very long time. I mean, that's 230 some years before the 2050 stuff. So
exactly. So I just wanted to get that out of the way because I realized. And I actually realized that when I put this note before we even see it at the later on in the episode. When I saw it later on in the episode, I was like, "Oh, I'm so glad I took the time to Google it. Come on, because then you know that's what I did. I'm not that smart."
Yeah.
So back to the blanket. Then the Scarface trio, they show up again, and I was so sure that we were going to get several episodes with the blind guy or Tan House, whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's not going to be the case now. Unless unless they for some reason bother to give us a flashback, which, you know what, I'm thinking about it now. Considering we're dealing with a show that deals in multiple time periods in every single episode, they don't really bother with flashbacks. Because every time period can act as sort of a flashback to the one that comes after it, I guess, to a certain extent. That's a good way to avoid flashbacks. That's a great writing trick. So basically, it looks like they're killing Tan House just because he wants to spread word of the travelers. We can even skip all the way down to when they show up, because obviously they're working on behalf of older Martha. Old lady Martha, whatever. I don't know what to call her yet.
I just keep calling her Eve or Eva.
Okay, you can do that too. But I'm having so much fun with the silly notes because I'm looking at every time I refer to people, I'm either referring to them as alternate this or, you know, duplicate that, or traveler this, or old lady this, or that. So I'm just looking for it in my notes here. Wow, and of course I'm not finding it. Well,
And
whatever.
I think we speculated that these guys were probably working for her, but I guess they confirmed it now.
Right. Although I found it's just one quote that she had when she's talking to them. It's annoying me that I cannot find it while I'm on the podcast with you here. All right, screw it. I'll just do it from memory, since I cannot. I swear to God, I cannot find it. She says something to them when she's talking about well, basically she says something to them about saving everybody. I cannot find the goddamn thing in my notes here.
I think she says das ist bad pannekuchen because pancakes suck in all time lines.
I just thought it was funny that she's having this conversation with these people about being, about what they're doing and trying to save all these people. Meanwhile, they're killing people, and many of them seemingly innocent people, right and left. So it's like, I don't know if they're really kind of following her directives here, or, I guess these people aren't important in the time stream or something. I don't know.
It's not a very not a very humane way of killing people either. I mean,
Oh,
you got
it's a horrible way to do it.
Adam doing a gut shot and Martha, and then you got these guys just, yoink. That's not a good way to go.
Right. So that we get these scenes also early on in the episode between well, if you want to say Eva, we'll call her Eva, that's fine. Eva and young Jonah. There's something I was trying to figure out, and I don't think this is something that the show will answer, or it's just my own curiosity because of my fascination with the concept of alternate or parallel universes or whatever. And it's based on something that Jonah says to her, because, and it's one of the very first things he said to her, like he refers to her world being a copy of his, if I'm not mistaken. And then it made me think. Oh, you want to say something before I go on? It's fine.
I was just confirming that you that
Oh,
that's what he
that
said.
my memory was right. So it made me wonder: would that world be a technical copy of the other one, or do they just happen to? I shouldn't say happen to, but do they exist independently of each other? Although they're obviously inextricably linked and parallel each other. I mean, I don't know. Because usually, when you see things that deal with alternate or parallel universes, they one is not made to be a copy of the other one. It's just they just exist, because that's kind of like the theory of there being parallel universes. So it's not that any one is a copy of another one. I just think Jonas would he must not be much of a sci-fi geek, because he probably would have realized that himself.
I don't know. Yeah, Jonas is kind of a dumb dumb when he's a kid, so maybe he's just like, just dumb and making it all about his world. I
Yeah,
don't
and
know.
they
But it
yeah.
could but it's still it's something interesting to think about.
Yeah, if he says glitch in the Matrix one more time, I'm gonna smack him. It's the most annoying line in the shit series for me right now. So, question, because I guess I didn't look closely, so maybe you have a more keener memory about this, because we're shifting over to the stuff with Ulrich and all the stuff reacting to finding the kid that's, actually his brother from 30 that was missing 33 years ago. Even in the alternate
Yes.
universe, is the kid now? Again, I apologize. It's bad podcasting on my part. I just don't remember, and I didn't think to just put on the previous episode or whatever to check it out myself. Is the kid's face unrecognizable when the body shows up? Is it all like scarred over or bloodied or something?
Basically, it's just like the eyes are completely gone and everything around them. And then when Ulrich identifies him as Mads in the other world, it's because like Mads like hit his face on like a coffee table or something once and has a scar on his chin. So that's the way that they were able to identify him in the other reality. But in this one, he has ID on him. So, but they still, Ulrich hasn't made the leap. Just like, he hurt his face once, blah blah blah. Yet this one.
Okay, because I have to, I confess, when the body dropped out of the little tear in the time-space continuum in the bunker or whatever, and he fell, I Like, I remembered incorrectly. See, that's why you need at least two people, if not more, to talk about the show. I thought I could see most of his face. And at least enough that someone who was the kid's brother, even if it was 33 years ago, would certainly recognize him. You know, but then again, even if the damage was just to, like, where his eyes are, you know, that kind of area, which I think I remember that happening on the show when they were doing those experiments with the kids and how they put those things on their head, whatever. But it's kind of like the Batman thing where people don't recognize him, don't recognize the bottom half of someone's face all the time. Okay, whatever. But then again, you know, people aren't recognizing me when I wear the mask covering the bottom part of my face all the time, though, so maybe there is some validity to it. Who knows? I was wondering about that because, you know, you get this scene where, you know, Uller kind of loses it and he actually decides to, of course, you know, it's a very soap opera-esque or Sopranos-esque even moment, like where the moment where Ulrich seems to realize he doesn't want to cheat on his wife anymore because he's led such a lousy life. It's that same, it was in that same day, that's when his wife decides to really put the screws to Charlotte by going to visit Alexander. So we got a little bit more on the blackmailing front, even though it's the alternate universe, I'm assuming it's still the same thing.
Yeah. Plus, in the original universe back in season one, like, this is like the exact same way Ulrich kind of like broke it off with Anna, like the same, you know, it's all like the same dialogue being used in like different situations with similar characters. Yep. So it's the same thing. Just Charlotte didn't like lose her shit about it because, you know, she's not a complete nut.
Right. Yeah, because it's funny that the first episode is called Deja Vu because now we're seeing all these little things, you know, very similar things repeating, even if they maybe some of the names change. Because I was watching, I was like, oh yeah, didn't she kind of do this already? You know, talking about destroying someone, but was it? I was like, wait, was it Katharina? Yeah. Was it Ulrich? It's Babe.
It was Ulrich last time.
I thought it was, and you know. Believe it or not, that's actually what happened to him, which actually works to when she went to go visit him back in the 1950s or whatever, and then leaves him there. So
yeah, I think we were speculating in one of our podcasts that like we never got to see Alexander destroy Ulrich, so like, well, I guess now maybe we'll get to see what Alexander destroying Charlotte would look like. Hopefully, I don't know. I mean, not that I want her to get destroyed, but I'd be interested to see like what exactly is what he can do.
Well, I'm gonna say that. That these universes will stay in their like little parallel sinking, so we're never really. I'm going to say we're never going to get it, just like we didn't get it with the Ulrich
either. Yeah, there probably isn't time for it. If this universe is only like 2 days, 2 or 3 days now, going to Bluey,
that's going to be more important things to deal with there. So there were, I mean, this is. Again, these episodes are so packed, it's insane. So there's lots of like really fun, tasty scenes to really chew into. I'll give your boy credit. I mean, you're one of the few people like, you know, waving the flag for Bartos, and he's bringing it this season. I loved what we bounced back to the 1880s again, and the way Bartos kind of challenges, you know, the douchey adult Jonas to tell them the truth and everything.
Yeah,
I was really digging that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. This, you're redeeming yourself in my eyes now because I really am not liking adult Jonas anymore.
Yeah, plus it's like a very, you know, and a little on the nose too, because I mean, him and, you know, douchey Bartos before he started working on this redemption storyline, you know, he had a fight in the rain with young Jonas at one point, and of course at that point we, you know, it's like, fuck you Bartos, you're being an asshole to Jonas, this clueless schlub that we kind of like somewhat. So it was kind of cool seeing the, you know, a repeat of their rain battle.
Yes, I remember, that much I did remember. It's like, wait a minute, is he going to fight with every version of Jonas? Is he going to have a fight with Adam? You know, the alleged Jonas? That's right.
Yeah, he'll just like push him over and he'll just be like, oh.
So, yeah, I kind of wished he'd kind of like messed up Jonas a little bit more in that fight, but whatever. We and like and then we do again we this episode, I don't know, is it this, I don't, maybe I said this about the previous one too, so maybe it's just going to be a thing this season, which is fine. It makes it just that crazier show. Because good Lord, they are bouncing between so many different time periods, and then, and that's technically more than one Earth, now that I think about, or universe, however you want to phrase it, whatever. I'm able to follow it all. I'm just amazed by it. Just it's the complications of mapping that out are just, as you mentioned, I think, or it's very difficult.
Their writer's room is probably just like the pictures of people like in the bunker. That's
Oh
just like
yeah,
what
it's oh, I'm
it's
sh it's gotta be. And it, and they probably got like balls of yarn, like doing like a little connecting to like every serial killer TV show ever made. Because we do end up bouncing, we constantly keep bouncing back to, young Jonas and old Martha, aka Eva, or whatever we want to call her. I actually wrote old bag Martha, but that was kind of mean, so we'll just say old Martha. And it's more just, I think these scenes are, it's part of it is Jonas coming once again, because it seems to be a running thing for that this version of Jonas and whoever he's dealing with in, what time period, be it Eva or Adam, whatever. It's Jonas has to come to terms with what's going on and then what he's supposed to be doing. And he'll be reluctant at first, but he'll be like, okay, I guess this is what I have to do. Which means he's gonna screw something up. Because that's he's the Barry Allen of all this to a certain extent. And there was, the way older Martha's talking to him, there is a certain, I guess she's trying to talk about things, they're almost like this tragically fated couple that you can't sever the bond between Jonas and Martha, even if their love is impossible. Even though I'm like, yeah, because haven't you established their blood relations? So that's, I like that they're not even talking about that anymore. Even though it's not Luke and Leia, but it's still kind of unseemly. It's what's their faces? It's the Game of Thrones things all over again, kind of, I think.
Yeah, hey, maybe that's the reason those three guys have that messed up face, inbreeding from Jonas and Martha banging and having a child, so.
I'm assuming it was just a really difficult delivery or something.
Yeah.
So she, I mean, and once again we get this whole light and dark, kind of thing, and it's almost like this season, like Martha, or older Martha, I should say, is kind of taking the place of older Claudia. That's what it's kind of what it feels like to a certain extent. Even though while that's happening, although obviously Jonas is still a, if not the key figure, and I know we talked about this before, it feels like they've really kind of it switched over to Martha. And that's why I made the joke earlier in the podcast, lame, admittedly lame as it was. It's like, how many Marthas are there now? Because like in this episode alone, we've got old lady Martha, or Eva, if you want to use your phrase. We've got what I call Traveler Martha, the one who actually traveled back to the 1880s. We've got the 2019 Martha, who is just learning about all this now. We find out, we get an answer to one of our questions, apparently, that the woman that she ran into in the woods was an older version of herself, which I guess it's a different, oh, we know it's a different actress because then she meets her at the end of the episode. So that's another Martha. So how many is that? Five now? Did I just count that? Four or five? How many is that? And keep in mind, we keep talking about the other Martha who died throughout the whole episode, because that's who Jonas wanted to save in the first place. So I don't know. Is that five? Is that six? It's like, how many Martha's are there on the
Yeah,
show?
there's a lot of Martha's going around, bouncing around here.
Yeah.
A lot of Martha, a lot of Jonas.
Suddenly my Martha Wayne and Martha Kent joke isn't so bad. Oh, I just realized something. Martha and Jonas. Jonas could be just another version of Jonathan. So it's going to turn out their kid is going to be Superman. Anyway, so Ubermensch. Well, you know, the whole myth of the Superman was a big that's pure Germany. That goes back to Nietzsche and Hitler and all that other shit. Anyway, I'm gonna lose some listeners somewhere.
If God's made it this far, I think we can still still insult Nazis without losing him.
The only person who objects to that doesn't listen to the podcast anymore. Anyway, okay, no. Stop with the inside joke, Scott. You said you weren't going to do that anymore. So, where was I? Oh, then back to 2019 when Daddy Ulrich shows up. So, I guess the kids know that their dad is a cheating scumbag. That seems to be the way they act towards him between Magnus and Martha. He's not too popular in that house, it looks like to me.
And it's kind of interesting because, like, I think in season one, like, there's kind of the same thing where, like, Katerina was – actually, no, season two, where Katerina was just, like, more concerned about what's going on with Mikkel and just, like, didn't give a fuck about the other kids that were still there.
Right.
Now it's Ulrich's turn to do that. He's just, like, totally focused on Mads.
Meanwhile, we didn't see – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. We didn't see Mikkel at all in this episode, did we?
Nope.
No, we saw the other two at home.
Yeah, I wonder where the fuck he is just chilling out.
Well, my first guess, if it's during the day, maybe he's in school. Then I realized, wait, wouldn't they all be in school at the same time then? So I was kind of wondering about it. Then I realized, no, that's okay.
He's probably like 8 feet tall now, and they didn't want to like drill a hole in the floor so he could like hide his legs in.
Well, you know, just as long as that Hannah doesn't see her, because then she'll start plotting of how she's gonna, you know, go back in time and, you know, and marry the kid. So speaking of Hannah, so I as we mentioned before with the stuff with Alexander, and before we even get there, this was we got a healthy dose of alternate universe Hannah here, and I can see she is just as petty, vindictive, and potentially crazy as the version that we had seen in the first two seasons.
Yeah, when she's spelling Charlotte, that was so fucking creepy.
Oh, absolutely, because I was watching, like, I'm pretty sure she already suspects Charlotte, just the way she's acting and what we'd seen before, and it's also, again, the deja vu thing of, like, the way kind of the reversal stuff with Katharina and her. But the sniffing thing was like, oh yeah, because I think they showed her smelling something of Ulrich's like in the first episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And then the fact that she brings those treats with her for my first time when we saw them, like, you know, I wouldn't be tasting those treats if I were anyone in that police house. Trying to see what else we got here. So
you know, it'd be funny if, like, there's some, I mean, it probably isn't true because it's Germany and all their stuff's probably really fucking dour, but, like, it'd be funny if there's, like, you know, some TV show or movie where, like, the actress who plays Hannah is, like, really fucking nice, like, the nicest mom or, like, the best, like, just super nice.
Oh, I bet that is the case. It's like when you find out that the actress who played, I know this is my go-to reference, but I don't care, the actress who played, you know, crack/meth head Wendy on Breaking Bad is actually just lovely, perfectly decent looking, sweet, church going suburban mom that they cast who hadn't really acted before, and then they made her look like that, and I was like, okay, that's about playing as against type as you can. And by the way, I'll still say it, I still want her to show up on Better Call Saul. I cannot believe it hasn't happened yet. Dear Vince Gilligan, make me happy. It's my yellow boots on that show. Ooh, another inside joke. No one's going to know what that meant except for like two people. So just to kind of straighten out some of the stuff that's going on here, and this is a very, although I think Martha has been the key figure all along, this is a very Martha-centric episode if there ever was one. And one of the linchpins for the episode is that old Martha wants young Jonas to explain everything to younger Martha so she can understand how, their fates are intertwined and how her future can, will proceed, blah, 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 blah. I actually got confused just for like 30 seconds during that. Then I screwed my head back on, right? I was like, wait, is she talking about this Martha, or does she want to go back to the other Martha? And I was like, why would she want to go back to? I can't. It's funny, all these bouncing around in time. No, most of it is all in the alternate universe, except for the future stuff, right?
Yes.
So we have not gone back to. Well, no, in this episode we haven't, I should say. I apologize. I realize in previous episodes we have gone to previous time periods because we were following Katharina in the 80s and stuff like that. So I forgot about that. We have gone back. Okay.
Yeah, Peter and Charlton 2020 also.
Right. So, speaking of Martha, so I guess I feel like they've made it kind of clear, and she outright says it. That younger Martha, or traveler Martha, I guess is the one who says it. She says she didn't write that letter, the one that we see in older Jonas's hand, that little mystery thing.
Right.
Did we already, now correct me if I'm wrong, did we already decide or guess that, yes, Martha wrote the letter, but it's older Martha who wrote the letter?
Yeah, some older version, so
Yeah.
that one hasn't wrote it yet, but
Although now that, well, that, is it older Martha or old lady Martha? Because now apparently there's another one in between, even though that makes no sense because she wouldn't look that different, but whatever.
course, there could be some other character that's writing letters too, because like we still don't know who sent the letter to Inspector Clausen, and so there could just be some like agent that's just like writing letters for some reason
Oh,
because they can't use Gmail or something. I don't know.
maybe before the Scarface crew got the license to kill, they were originally just an angry letter writing campaign to do things. By the way, I'm sorry. It seems like they're implying or saying that the Martha she sees at the end of the episode is the woman she saw in the woods. They don't look the same. Am I crazy? They don't look like they're the same person. Because the one she saw in the woods, I rewound it a few times. Even under all the black oil, dark matter, gook, whatever the heck's on her, she still looked fairly young. Not like
Yeah, I
this
don't know.
woman I see who looked a lot much more weather-beaten.
I'd have to look to see. I'm not sure, but no, this is super bright. That's super dark. There's goofy black oil going on. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm just curious about it.
So we'll have to dig into it. I'm sure they'll show it again or something, or we can just like look at it.
Yeah, I mean,
And
again, I keep having to, like every time I look for pictures, like to put up for the podcast, whatever. I swear to God, there's like three different pictures randomly. Luckily, the pictures don't spoil anything, thank God. But
you don't
there's
want to get
always a
spoiled.
sentence under them, and if I had a nickel in the last week for every time I saw the ending of Dark Explained. I could at least buy a Starbucks cup of coffee or something because I keep seeing that. It's like, no, we're gonna be the ones explaining that ending or trying to, probably in the next week or so. So, when Martha in the 1880s or 1888 Martha, when she tries to gain Jonas's trust by giving him the vial of, it's like dark matter. Let's see.
Correct.
Did you know that she was lying, that she still had some more?
I figured it was. No, I didn't at the time. It made sense when I thought she disappeared, and I thought it was certainly possible that she was just telling him that.
Because it seemed like a too crazy a sacrifice to make, because it would
Yeah.
possibly. Now, the more important question, because that's kind of a dumb question, but the important question, which I don't think is a dumb question. One thing this show does more than anything else with all these time traveling situations, it's all about creating. I've said it a million times before, so I am being repetitive for a moment here. It's all about paradoxes, like the book of like, wait, he never actually got around to writing the book, but he's given a version of the book, that whole thing, or the time machine, whatever, all these kind of things that have happened. Is her bringing and giving that little bit of dark matter in 1888, is that the beginning of the dark matter from that point on, even though she technically she brought it from the future? But this is, and that's maybe, is that what builds to what we see like Adam have in 1921?
Yeah, I'm just not sure because, like, for one thing, like, we don't know what happens to. Do we know what happens to, like, Adam's time machine? Like, it does it still exist in 2020 or the 80s? Or, like, where is that black matter exactly?
Well,
Is it, if there's still a church with that stuff in it in 2020? I don't.
we haven't seen that location in the later time periods. We've only seen it on that Earth, I should say. The place where older Martha is looks like it's a parallel universe version of that location.
Right. Yeah.
But the location where we see Adam in 1921, and then we see Bartosz, I can never pronounce his fucking name, give Martha the little tour. So we see, oh, it existed then in the 1880s. I don't think we see it in any. I mean, do we see it in the 50s?
I don't know. We never can know exactly when people are there because there's, so much weird stuff happening. So is that like, is that like the same church that like Peter's in 2019 here, or, and it's just like hidden it back in another room, or is it, I don't know. It's, I'm not entirely
Well, I'm trying to
sure.
remember. Was there a church? Did we see a church with Noah in the 50s, and maybe that's where it would have been located behind there? Did we see it there, maybe?
Yeah, because we've seen the church a few times, because, like, at least back
Right,
in the 20s. But
but I feel like we've only by.
it's just hard to, when, like, Noah's doing stuff and Adam's doing stuff, it's hard to know exactly when they are because they can pretty much time travel at will. So
Right.
it's hard to know when's there, and, or, when whoever ends up there, Jonas, or whoever ends up there.
Right, I
We
just,
just know it's there in the 20s.
yeah, but I get, I just feel until someone contradicts it or shows me otherwise, I don't think we've seen Adam in either the 50s or the 80s. We've seen him in the 20s. We saw him when he shows up and kills Martha, and in this episode we see him in 2053, for another, because the show has to have at least one or two kind of like what kind of moments, and when we get to the point later on when it looks like, wait, is traveling Martha working on behalf of Adam? Wait, what? Does she not know what he. But she clearly knows because she showed up. She saw her dead doppelganger already. Okay, what
Right.
the. And so that's one of those things that makes me go, okay, whoa, what. I don't want, I hate to say what the fuck's going on here, but that was what I wrote. That like, wait, we're not, I'm not allowed to binge this now. I can't watch the next one.
Oh, fuck, man. Dan is such an ass jockey. Fuck.
But as Martha, as old lady Martha says, to the her whole thing is like to preserve the knot, but she's saying that Martha has to die so that all others must live.
Right.
So. And the oh, and getting back to the objects that they brought her, the nameless trio that we'll just keep speculating from who they from whom they sprung. I like the idea that they're children. It's a child of incest. Like we said, there's the I keep calling it a watch. It's a locket. I don't know why I call it a watch because it reminds me of a pocket watch, but it's a locket, right? Because it's a picture, or is it
No,
a
it's got a.
watch? It is a
It's got a
watch.
watch. It's a watch in it with, but it has. It's like a locket watch, I
Yeah, of
guess.
course. It's a show about time
Pocket
travel.
watch.
Of course, it's a watch. Okay, I'll stick to it. Why was I correcting? I was right, and I
And
made myself wrong. Okay, so you got this watch, and you got the Aranir, but you also got the plans to the nuclear plant, and the two looks like the two keys, and I think
right.
that's what they got from when they killed what's his name? Dop was it? Was it? Was it? Was
The
that name of
Doppler, the
the Doppler?
Bernd Doppler,
Bernd. Yeah,
yes.
those names. So I'm just seeing. Oh, have you ever tried to? 'Cause every time they leave the cavern, when there's been some traveling involved, from what I understand, I think there's maybe subtle differences to the environment around them, like those
Yeah.
chairs, like they're either both there or they're not there, or only one's there, or things of that nature.
Right.
It was funny because I'm not kidding. I was writing a note about that. Like, that's why I'm repeating it right now, as a matter of fact. I'm saying, I really need to pay attention to details like this. And then, like, 10 minutes later, Jonas and Martha come out of the cavern. They're like, well, I'm not going to miss the difference this time, because it looks like everything's just covered in sand. Like, they were trying to, like, film their own version of Lawrence of Arabia in Germany or something.
Right.
When is that?
I don't know. I figured it was like, you know, the distant past, just because the name of the episode. However, she says it's the future, so who knows? But the, I guess, you know, maybe it's the future, and there's no reason to suspect that this version of Martha is going to be lying to the other one. But I don't know. They're all just manipulating themselves in so many different timelines. So.
Oh, I tend not. It,
Yeah.
I don't, I think everybody, I think they're all unreliable narrators and so on and so forth. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust I don't trust older Martha any more than I trust Adam. Except at least I believe that, I do believe that she is Adam. I mean, excuse me, I do believe that she is Martha, whereas I'm still skeptical about Adam, even though I mean, I know my theory is going to probably be proven to be wrong, but I'm still sticking.
Yeah, he did say, you know, and he did kind of tell Martha that, I was a really real dummy back then or something.
Right,
But
but yeah,
if he was pretending to be Jonas, then that would still be part of
that. I'm about to say that. Yeah, that didn't convince me one fucking bit. It was funny. I actually wrote in my notes to ask you about something, which then I realized the answer to like 5 minutes later. So I don't need to ask you about it anymore. We get a little bit with speaking of characters that, you know, we kind of go back and forth. Either they kind of disappear for a while on the show, and then all of a sudden they start getting heavy play again. We talked about last episode, that was the case of like with the Tranti character. I'm used to talking about weekly shows with you. But like this episode, I thought that was the case with Helga.
Helgi, yeah.
First of all, did the old version of Helgi in the previous the universe that we were following, the first two episodes, was his face that messed up and missing an eye?
No, he's missing an eye in this reality, and he's missing an ear in the other. His ear is fucked up in
It's
the other
the
one,
ear,
so.
because of him getting his ear smashed in by Ulrich in the 1950s.
And,
Yeah,
yeah, in the
50s. Yeah.
50s, yeah, because yeah, because his father's the guy from the nuclear power plant,
Right.
yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. They switched once again. They switched something around, just like what's the face with his arm and his eye and all the other
Right.
crap. But we
Yeah,
did
so
that. We.
yeah, I guess the next couple episodes, I'm guessing maybe we'll see Ulrich will somehow go back and beat the fuck out of his eye, I guess.
I kind of hope they don't repeat everything. Every no, because it's going to be kind of an annoying season at that point. You know, it's like we can just take it on faith. You know, we don't need to see it all over again.
Yeah, he already identified Ulrich as the one that did it, and it's kind of, similar. We've seen that in a way before. But it was a good scene, though.
Well, Michael, I have a question about the scene,
Yo.
because, you know, this is after, I guess, Charlotte goes to see Peter at the church, and I by the way, I thought there was something going on with the guy and Peter before he leaves. I was like, oh, really? Well, he is a priest, so I guess that's not too shocking.
Yeah.
But then they go to the police station because Helgi shows up there, confessing.
Do you have any idea who that guy is at the church with Peter by chance? You have a
I'm gonna say it's how he's keeping his nights busy when Charlotte's not around. So that's
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know. I think it's Waller's brother, Benny, like a guy in this one still, maybe.
Well, it didn't look like I didn't think it was the same actor, but I didn't really take a good look at him. So
Yeah,
it
neither
could
did
very well be. It could be. That would be kind of funny if it, well, yeah, it'd be kind of
I.
funny if it was.
Yeah, well, it would be the thing to do, I suppose.
It would be the
So.
thing to do.
Yeah, I know. We just pissed somebody off somewhere, whatever.
Oh no, we pissed off one of our 12 listeners. What are we gonna do? So, what was I gonna say? Oh, my question. So, at the end of that scene, when Helgi keeps going, first he was saying it's you, He's like, you, it's you're alive or it's him. He was alternating between saying it's you and it's him in that scene. I was trying to figure out what he was actually talking about. Do you know? It was you. It
He's
was him. I know.
just identifying Ulrich as the one that like took his eye out, because he kind of had a similar conversation at some point in the in one of the other seasons, where he identified Ulrich as the one that beat the crap out of him.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought, but it was just the way they alternated the phrases, and especially since we're in a situation where they don't realize who that kid is as of yet. So part of me was thinking he was referring to the actual kid, because they keep asking, how did you have Mads's, his clothing and his own? It's like, well, that's because it was him. That's it. That's who the kid is. But when Ulrich shows up, I'm like, no, I think he's talking about Ulrich, being the one who did that. Then I realized, you know what? He's a lot of, he could be, because he goes, it was you, it was him. He could be talking about both things for all I know. I mean, it's not, I know it's not super important, but I was kind of curious.
Yeah, it was a really chaotic scene too, but I thought it was kind of cool just to, because it paralleled some other stuff, but it was done in like a completely different way this time.
So I'm just zipping through to see if there's anything else that I thought was really pertinent that we haven't already touched upon. Oh, by the way, I've the construct of time travel on the show. So basically, all right. So basically, it's either you walk through the portal that's underneath, that's in the caverns. Although I don't know if by doing that you can actually specifically pick where you show up. So that's.
No. Well, if you go through the portal, like there's two directions. You can go like once to the past and once to the future, and it has to be 33 years,
Right.
because
So
that is a branched passageway.
when people have traveled beyond 33 years, either it's, say, like 66 years, has that been through using a time machine then? That doesn't make. Then how did Jonas get to. Remind me, how did Jonas get to the 1820s? Did someone.
The 1920s.
1920s, excuse me.
He went through the dark matter
The
in
dark matter, that's right, and from the future.
2050.
That's it, that's it. Thank you. That's it. Okay, I could not remember. Because the show just. No, I was trying to figure, because then that's actually a third way, because I'm realizing it's interesting, because usually shows, movies or TV shows that concentrate on time travel, it's usually there's one way to do it, whatever that method is. And on this show, I feel like there's, although they all circulate around the same type of thing, there's like really three means so far that I can think of. Oh, sorry, four. Four means. You've got the original time machine that we saw the first two seasons, the more elaborate
Let's see.
contraption.
Suitcase one.
Then you've got the sphere, little sphere thing that Traveler Martha has. You got going through the portal under the caverns or whatever. And then you've got the dark matter bubble method, which we see in both 2053, and we kind of, that's also what Adam was working on in 1920s,
So Adam harnesses that to control his machine, which you can pick a specific thing. And then we also see it used when like Klaassen like fucks up the nuclear power plant and like the things created there. So it's also
right.
used for traveling there. And then I guess we also have another time machine, which is Noah's one that doesn't work well and just like kills the kids.
Right, Jesus Christ, that's right. So question. We're now so now we've now watched three episodes so far. I know that we saw Noah get killed at the end of last season by Agnes, right? Isn't Agnes the one who shoots him? Regardless of the fact that we saw him get shot, that doesn't matter, because he still would exist in any number of other time periods and looping around whatever. When do you think we're going to see Noah again? Because I figure he still has to play a part to all this.
I'm guessing the adult Noah will show up at some point, but
Yeah, we've seen the yeah I forget, yeah I know we've seen the younger doesn't look anything like the same act the other actor. How could he possibly be the same character? Doesn't even act like him.
No.
There's like there's nothing about that no that reminds me of the other no. It's
Yeah,
probably it kind of bugs me. Not a lot.
in episode two of the season when he was kind of like creeping on Peter and Charlotte a bit, I kind of thought a little bit more. I mean, it's still a bit of a stretch, but I guess when he's all dirty and swarthy looking, maybe it's a little bit more.
Well, he's got those dead eyes and everything. It's just again, we I think. Generally speaking, I think we like most of the casting that they've done as far as, oh, I could see that person being that person, by the way they look and the way they act. So, but the ones that don't are the ones to me, they kind of stick out just a little bit, Whereas like, older Jonas, I totally can believe that's the same guy. The hair color's a little different, but who cares? There's something about his, they both have the same kind of slightly vacant look to their face whenever they react to things and whatever. With
So
this,
anyway,
go on.
yeah, it's just hard to know exactly because I suppose if the Noah from 1920 is just like hanging around 2020 after the apocalypse, and then he's going to age until 2050 or something like that, and then I guess he goes back in time with the baby maybe, and then does stuff. I don't know, or something happens, whatever. But
Does he and
I
why
guess,
and why? Yeah, I guess. Oh, well,
but.
I guess he does it because he knows it has to be. I know. Okay, I
Yeah.
understand why he does it. Or that I can figure out.
Yeah, but so so theoretically, that's where Noah ages during that timeline alongside Elizabeth, so in the normal world during the apocalypse he lives for like 30 years and he starts traveling, I guess. Even though he was brought from the past to then so he could end up in the bunker. So it's there's so much going on.
Oh, last question. Just
Yeah.
getting back to, unless you have any, of course, but I kind of want to wrap this up soon. I just mentioned a couple moments ago that we see Traveler Martha show up in 2053, and that's where the big reveal is that she's, a lot of what she's doing is on behalf of Adam, which, I mean, the questions of why that's the case, we'll probably spend the next episode talking about and trying to figure out.
When she traveled, I really thought that like maybe that was gonna be where help like because they kept showing the door and I thought like maybe Bartos was gonna storm in there and end up getting caught in her field in this
Oh,
one.
they totally played us. I enjoyed that they did. We kept it was the it was almost going to be the cliche of someone's going to burst in and jump at her and zap along with her and Bartosz would have been the natural one since we don't know what the hell happened to him.
Yeah,
So.
that really would have been satisfying. Not that we would have known what happened to him
Right,
exactly. Yeah,
I
at least it would have been up in the right direction.
actually thought it was funny that they didn't do that because they were
Yeah.
certainly making you think, oh, here it is, here it is. Oh, it didn't happen. So when Adam you cranks up the we were just talking about when he cranks up the whole time machine dark matter bubble thing back in 1921 that we saw towards the end of season two.
Yeah.
So the implication. Although who knows, it's when time travel is involved, he could have been a billion places for all we know, is that he traveled from 1921 to 2053, and where he's having this rendezvous with Traveler Martha.
Yeah, so it'll take him like 30 years to perfect the process. Magnus and Francisco age during that process, and then he'll travel to. Oh, actually,
Right.
no. I think he travels to 2020 first, so he can kill Martha, and then he travels again, I guess.
No, I'm just right. Excuse me, you're right. He kills Martha for I forgot about that. Wow, bad podcaster. I'm just trying to see the advantage of why he went to 2053. I mean, is it just because there is that big bubble of dark matter that was there? But then again, wouldn't it have been? Oh, he's still constrained to the 33-year thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know. Now I understand why he is. Why he's there then? Okay, I just realized because he couldn't be in right when the accident happened at that point in time. I guess because of all the people there and the radioactivity and everything else going on, and
Well, he had to be killing Martha at that time, so he couldn't be at both.
Well, you know, but if time travel is involved, that shouldn't actually matter. He could literally be in two places at the same time. He goes, okay, now I'm gonna go back and do this. You know, he just
Well,
keep
if they
coming
have to do
back.
the well, if they just whenever they do the 33-year cycle thing, it's still like date specific. So like, you know, they're bouncing from like June to June and September to September. So like, I don't think they can be in two places at once exactly. Like, I think they just like they have to be, you know, 33 years back from that date or forward from that date, I think.
Guess that must be true. I guess
Yeah, I
so.
don't.
No,
Yeah, I'm not
I
sure.
think you're right. I guess I'm just trying to figure things out because now it seems like are we everything has to be it's everything has to be a multiple of 33?
I think so.
Okay, because I'm trying to figure out Martha's thing because she takes a huge jump from 1888 all the way to 2053.
Right.
So but it's a
Let's see.
little, because I thought that I could have sworn, was it late last season, where they were talking about being able to travel outside of that, or maybe it was early this season actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Adam had the ability to control with his machine. I thought he was able to control a little bit better, but I guess I'm not sure.
So I thought that's what they were doing, because that's hence Jonah going to 2019 as opposed to 2020, so to try to. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. All right, that was it was a crazy episode. I don't know, hopefully our conversation helped fellow fans of the show kind of give them more to think about and reason along with us and or just laugh at us because they're probably already up to they're probably already finished the series and just want to be entertained by us being stupid idiots. I don't know.
Yeah, one thing I just because I was just telling you how long I left in the episode, it kind of made me think about it a little bit. But I like the format of the show, how like there's always a song kind of towards the end that like has some kind of a, like montage thing going on a little bit, or not a montage, but just like, you know, showing what album you're doing. But they do that consistently with every episode of the show, so it's just kind of like an interesting choice that they made to do that for every episode of the show, because, you know, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it, but I get it. Well, it seems, here's the thing. For me personally, if I start acting like I like this, I'll feel like a hypocrite because I hated when they would do that on Sons of Anarchy. I hated when they would do that on a show called Rescue Me that I don't think you've seen. They used to do it on that all the time. And I didn't like it when they did it on with another show. Oh, good. Didn't like the new Showtime version of Twin Peaks sometimes have like song things at the end which just went on forever? Maybe they but they didn't give us a
Yeah,
montage. They just had a song go on forever.
they just play a song at the end because like they had to play like, you know, some song for like somebody that David Lynch like wanted to have sex with or something.
Pretty much.
So you could show.
There's probably I think there's some other show I used to watch which would do that from
Yeah.
time to time. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was House or something. I like it from time to time.
Yeah, I just don't know. I just think it's an interesting stylistic choice because I don't because these other shows, Sons of Anarchy, I mean, it's more like a random thing, but this is like every episode of the show does it like pretty much with the same amount of time left in each episode consistently. So the fact that they do it all the time is just different. Like an interesting choice that they stick to. You know, it's just not something I need to see all the time. And you know, I was annoyed by the same stuff. I just think it's interesting that they've decided to do that for every episode of the series.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against it. I feel it. I'll say it does give you a bit of a breather, and so you can
Yeah.
just like take things in where you're not. Especially if you're doing a podcast, and you have to take notes. It's like, oh, I can just watch. I don't have to like pay attention. It's not like dialogue intensive, you know, exposition happening here or something. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll see. I am curious if
Yeah,
they're gonna do it for the
and
entire season.
the music's like different kind of music than I listen to usually. So it's just like, oh, this is different. This is
Oh yeah,
interesting.
I mean, oh, I don't mind the music. It's fine. I mean, it's not like it's like some crappy 70s California soft rock crap or something. Anyway, so hey kids, if you enjoyed this podcast, chances are you'll enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama podcast page. Like the page, talk about shows like Dark, like Better Call Saul, like so many others that are good and not so good. Just hang out there and you can talk about them. You can find us on iTunes if you can figure out how to get that thing to work anymore. Type it in. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed, and you can also rate and review us there, which is awfully nice. You can actually find our own website page, whatever the heck it's called, stvdpodcast.podbean.com. Why am I directing you there? Because you can find any one of 255 episodes of the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You know, you can go all the way back to the beginning and listen to me in one ear and Dan in the other as we talk about an episode of Mad Men from 2014 or something. I still love that that happened. It's amazing. I listened to one like a few weeks ago and I was like amazed by it.
It's the one where I like the waitress episodes for some reason and everybody else in the world hates it and you're amazed.
Yeah, well, there's no real excuse for that. That was just, that was like, anyway, oh, I'm going to get mad all over again. what the heck? You could type in STVD podcast or Serious TV Drama Podcast in Google. You'll probably find us in a bunch of other places, or even on YouTube. Not that anyone really downloads it there, but you never know. People do. And finally, you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at STVD Podcast. STVD Podcast is in Serious TV Drama. I haven't been handling. You can also email us, though I'll probably never remember to check. It's stvdpodcast@gmail.com. it's the worst. I'm just. I can't whine about us not having. Look what I done. I'm the worst promotional person ever. Anyway, we will be back to record episode 4, hopefully within the next 24 hours. Actually, my guys, like we were talking about the other day, we are gonna try to get the whole season done within the next week or so, before Dan departs for another one of his many vacations. So hopefully you're having fun listening along with us as you watch the show.
Yes.
All right. Well, it was good getting together with you, Dan. We went over an hour, so God damn it. But I have a feeling I'll be talking to you later today, actually. So get some sleep, have a good night, and good night to everybody out there.
All right. Good night, guys.